Let's take our Bibles to a couple places this morning. Go to, if you would, Mark chapter 4 and 1 Samuel chapter 3. While you're turning there, let me let you know that we are in prayer. I'm sure that you are as well for the folks down in Houston who have been affected by the great flood. And we have set some money down there as a church. And if you would like to do so, you may also put in the offering mark that, if you would, storm relief. It will have a fund directly for them. Anything that comes in for storm relief will go directly to the churches down there. We have a list of about five churches, five or six, that we've been told. And this is people that are boots on the ground. They live there. Their homes have been washed away, or they're no longer able to live there. And so they are taking temporary residence at churches or in other places, and there's several people out there. I like to know where my money's going. I like, and if I'm going to give it to somebody, I at least like to hand it over to someone that is trustworthy. And so we will do everything we have to do to get that to people who need it. We will be praying that direction for the folks in Houston. So mark that, if you would, storm relief. You can put that in the offering plate or hand that to one of the ushers after the service. We're going to look at two verses of Scripture, two passages of Scripture, and we'll try to tie these things together. The passage here in Mark chapter 4 is one in which people are likened as dirt. Just dirt. And here they are in Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Hearken. What does that word mean? That means to listen. Pay attention. See the first four letters, they H-E-A. How many is that? Four? H-E-A-R. Hear. Listen. Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. These are hard-hearted people. They didn't even, the seed did not even get into the ground. The fowls came down and ate it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. These are shallow-hearted people. Just enough of softness on the surface to get that seed down in just a little bit, but it didn't go far enough to make any difference. Verse number 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. These are what some have called strangle-hearted people. People that receive the word, they receive the seed, but they strangle it, and the Lord goes on to say what they use to strangle it. They use the thorns of worry. They use the nettles of riches. They use the brambles of pleasure. And those things prohibit the seed from taking root and growing. And then in verse number 8, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. These are the honest-hearted people. The Lord said later in the passage they had an honest and good heart. But notice what he says in verse number 9. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's almost as if that verse number 9 is talking about ways of hearing. Different manners in which people hear or receive the seed. Some people are hard-hearted, the seed just bounces right off of them. Some are shallow-hearted, and the seed goes in just enough to change their emotions, to make them feel happy and excited, but there's not enough depth of earth there for it to really produce lasting change. The third is that which receives the seed, and yet it starts to do battle with other priorities in the heart. So the seed is there, but it's not the only thing there. Priorities come. And if you're like me, I can see different Christians in this passage. I can see different time frames in my own life when I have exemplified one or each of these. Sometimes the scripture hits me, the Lord says something to me, and it bounces right off. And the fowls of the air, it's interesting, the scripture talks about the fowls of the air, likens them in some places to evil spirits, to devils. And somehow or other, that seed just bounces right off me. And it seems like something comes along and just takes it away and forget all about it. Sometimes I take it in and I get excited, perhaps the emotion or the moment, whatever it is. And just for a little while, it kind of does its work and then it's gone. There are other times when I say, you know what, this is it. I am buckling down. I'm going to get it this time. I'm going to do it. But it just seems like after a while, other things push to the front of the line and say, what about me? And I say, well, you're important too. And before I know it, that good seed has been choked and the fruit ceases to be produced. What the Lord's looking for is people who have ears to hear. Ears to hear. Now, isn't that an interesting phrase? Why else would you have ears? That's a good question, isn't it? Ears are meant to hear. I don't know. Very many people have. Maybe you've received compliments about your ears. I never have that I know. Your ears. Oh, that I might see just one ear. You know, I never heard those types of romantic affectations. Maybe you have. But then again, we'd all have nice ears like you do. You have beautiful ears. It's not something we normally talk about. Although, how important are your ears? Very important. And these parabolic mirrors right here, they are very important. The Lord put them on the side of your head so that you could actually hear things. And so that the sounds don't just go blazing by. They say if a person loses his or her ear, it makes it much more difficult for them to hear and to triangulate where the sound is coming from. Because we all are raised with these things on the side of our ears, and they help us almost like a bat. We can tell the general direction of where someone is speaking. But the Lord said here, this message is for people that have ears to hear. Not just people that have ears, but people that have ears to hear. They're listening on purpose with their ears. They are hearing what is being said. They hear the word of God. They retain the word of God, that is, they hold fast to the word so that it stays in their possession. They keep it. Maybe they memorize that word. They meditate on that word, so they're holding on to it. And then because of their perseverance and their steadfastness in holding on to that word, it produces a fruitful crop. Now, I'd like to take you back to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and talk about what it takes to hear. The title of the message this morning, Listen Up. Listen Up. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. And the child, Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Did I tell you 1 Samuel 3? You didn't. All right. What meaneth then the turning of the pages in my ear? I thought for sure I hadn't told you. I forgot. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. This child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Seems like a familiar story to me. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. And he goes on to talk about what he was going to do in Israel. In verse number 15, And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, we read this passage, and you've heard the story no doubt before, but notice the progression that takes place in Samuel's life from the beginning of the chapter all the way at the end. The child ministered unto the Lord before Eli. It says there in verse number 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. There is a progression in the life of every individual where you start out doing things because that's what you're supposed to do. And you follow along. And by the way, if you ever do anything for the Lord, you're going to minister to be before someone else. Someone else is going to be, as it were, standing in the Lord's place, the Lord's proxy. He ministered before the Lord. He ministered before Eli to the Lord. And so he goes through, but he does not have that personal relationship with the Lord. He does not know him personally. And yet he continues to serve faithfully. But as we go through the passage, we see by the end of it, not only is Samuel hearing the Lord, he knows the Lord, and now he is being commissioned by the Lord to take over and be the man of the Lord in Israel. God uses him as he follows that progression. But for our purposes this morning, I want to talk about how is it that Samuel could hear the voice of the Lord. The Lord was talking, but Samuel didn't know him. The Lord had a message that he wanted to give to Israel, but he could not give it through Eli. What was it about Eli that the Lord could not use him anymore in the same capacity? He was the prophet. This was before the time of the kings. The prophet was the main oracle, as it were. He was the connection point. He was the point man for Israel when God wanted to talk to Israel. But Eli had fallen down on the job. He did not function any longer. He was worthless in that position. And the strange thing that I see here is that not only was Eli not hearing from the Lord himself, but he was unconcerned that he had not heard from the Lord. It didn't bother him. And it gets even stranger when you realize that he can recognize when God is speaking to someone else, but it doesn't seem to perturb him at all. It doesn't bother him that God's speaking. Oh, yep, God's speaking to Samuel. That's got to be God, Samuel. But Eli's not concerned about the fact that he hasn't heard from the Lord. And he's not structuring his life or ordering his family in a way that would allow the Lord to speak to him. What I want to ask you this morning is, how do you hear? Are you hearing? The Lord said to take heed how you hear. And he said in Mark chapter 9, he said, "Let him that hath ears to hear, let him hear." 7 different times in the book of Revelation, the Lord says that. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, there are 66 radio stations in the Toledo area, or can be heard, even maybe faintly, by those in Toledo. So if I had a radio, the radio is an old-fashioned thing that people used to use years and years ago. We don't do it anymore. But used to have it where you could plug it in, no internet connection. You plug it in, or if you had batteries, a transistor radio. Some of you were, you know, really hip back in the day. You carry it right up here. Carry that thing. I remember the days when they used to put straps on the boom boxes and they'd carry those things around. But these are just little pocket transistors. And you could, you know, ostensibly, you could turn that thing on and you could just keep turning that frequency dial turn it up and down, up and down, and you can find 66 different radio stations. Now, let's all use our powers of imagination. Are you ready? And let's listen in for, I mean, we got 66 to choose from. Let's listen in. Are you ready? Here we go. Can you hear it? I would suggest to you that you're not trying hard enough. Let's try it one more time. Let's try it. Are you ready? Maybe close your eyes. I don't know. Just think. Just think. Just focus. Please, no laughing, no chuckling, snickering. None of that. Let's just listen. All right. No sniffing. No more sniffing. I said no sniffing. For Pete's sake. Can you hear? Or clearing of the throat. I'm not getting anything. Are you getting anything? Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think, and here's a possibility, do you think they shut down all the radio stations? They could have. They could have. And that probably is, I'm going to say that's the reason. If somebody got mad, just said, we're shutting it down. FCC came in and said, we're shutting them down. No more. That's not the reason, right? You say, what a crazy illustration. But I'm here to tell you that God is more concerned about getting his message to you than the radio stations are concerned about getting you to buy their products. And by the way, that's how they stay in business. You know that, right? The advertising and so forth. But they have a reason to try to get you to listen. There's something that's missing, though. There's something that's missing that we can't. We're missing a radio. We're missing a frequency tuner that can actually receive that electronic signal from the air and turn it into something that we can hear by means of the speaker. There is, it is being broadcasted right now. And not only that, who knows what kind of other frequencies are you know, as signals are going through our building right now. All kinds. Television signals, ham radio. I mean, those guys are still going at it. We've got radio signals. There is wireless internet now that's being used. We've got dish signals. You know, just those little dishes. You know, that's what I love about this day and age. We're not doing the big sins like they used to back in the 80s, you know. We just got little ones, just little tiny little ones. And it's a joke. It was a joke. Not a very good one, apparently. But you know what? You get my point? You understand my point? The signals are being broadcasted. We're not hearing it because we don't have the proper frequency or the mechanism by which to tune in that frequency and hear it. My question is this. What's the difference between the four soils? Why is one, the seeds bouncing off of it, the other is bringing forth fruit? I would submit to you, it's because of how people are hearing. How they're hearing. Chapter 3, verse 1, or verse number 2, gives us a clue. How can you hear when God's speaking? How can you tune in the frequency of heaven and listen? And make no mistake, before we read this verse, make no mistake, God is broadcasting. He has put it upon himself to be the what's the word I'm looking for? He is the one that starts the action. God acts and man reacts. He's not up there going, man, I hope somebody turns and listens to me. I hope somebody cares. He's broadcasting regardless. You say, well, I've never heard him speak. Well, maybe you don't have the right mechanism. Maybe you haven't turned into the right frequency. God is speaking. God speaks in this world. But how do you hear God? How is it possible to know that God has spoken to you? Now, you may be here this morning and say, I've asked God to speak to me. I haven't heard anything. Well, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for you. Because there are people in this room, and I'm one of them, that can say, I know God has spoken to me. I have no question about it. I'm not one that says, you know, God speaks to me all the time. I mean, he does. He nudges me. He reminds me mainly through the Word of God. But I can tell you, there are major decisions in my life that have happened as a result of an unmistakable voice of God saying. Now, it was not an audible voice. It was much louder than that. It went to the very core of my being. And I knew that God had spoken to me. Now, if you want to hear God speaking to you, let me give you some ideas. Starting at verse number 2. It came to pass when Eli was laid down in his place. What time is this? It's at night. Verse number 3. Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. This is before they put out that lamp where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." I believe that there is a necessity of silence in order to hear the voice of God. Silence. You realize how uncomfortable it is in a group like this to sit around and be silent? It's very awkward, isn't it? Why is that? Because we are constantly bombarded with noise everywhere we go. And it's a cacophony of noise. It's not a symphony. It's noises that are working against one another. You ever walk out in the woods and I never seen anyone in the woods going, "Please, please. The birds and the crickets and the loons. What in the world? Everything." No one ever does that. Why? Because no matter how many birds or animals or insects that are in the woods, they all seem to just function as a symphony. It's not too loud. In fact, even with that noise, it can be another one possible exception, cicadas. Okay, I know you're all thinking that. Cicadas. But you imagine, if you went out into the Rockies, you went out into Glacier National Park, or you went out to Yellowstone, wherever it is, and you walk through there, you would hear various kinds of noises. And what would seem odd and out of place would not be the creation that God's made. It would be that other creation that God made called human beings. That's what gets on your nerves. And really, that's what bothers us. It's the noise. We live in a noisy society. Ever since the industrial age, somebody fired up an engine and or turned a furnace on, and now here we go, constantly making and adjusting. And you drive down the road and you can't be quiet because you got the radio on, or you turn the radio off. Now you're worried about the noise that your tires make. You know, I need to get quieter tires. And then you got the guy next door beeping, and then sometimes you pull up to the light, and the guy, for whatever reason, has to prove to you that he also exists. And he turns up that bass, you know, woofer. So I don't understand how he does it. I know why he does it. He does it to get attention. Hey, mission accomplished. You got my attention. I'm feeling that rhythm with you, three cars away. And I'm not a big fan of that myself, but if you're that way, you know, good for you. Go for it. But the idea of constant noise, it actually makes people very uncomfortable when they don't have that noise anymore. It makes you feel awkward, antsy, uptight, which is weird. You're uptight because you don't have noise. It's like the person that has the sugar. They eat sugar, and then no sugar, and now they're really losing their mind. That's kind of the way it is. We're hooked on the noise. But if you're going to know the Lord and hear the Lord, you're going to have some silence in your life. Silence. Now, I would like to make this metaphorical and spiritual, and surely there are, we got that in here. But I'm going to say, at some point, it's going to have to be actual silence. Actual silence. Not just metaphysical silence. Not just social silence. I'm talking about it's important to hear the voice of God. How many times have people said to you, "I've been calling you all day," and you say, "Well, my phone was on vibrate," or "my phone was silenced"? You know, the reason why they couldn't get in touch with you is because you had other voices that were taking precedence. Other actions, other activities were more important to you. And it's not until you actually sit down at the end of the day and you look at your phone and you've got 33 missed calls. And you thank the Lord it was your mother-in-law. Because you don't feel any guilt at all about not having answered the phone. But you think about that in our lives. How many missed calls have we had from God? And the reason why is not just because our phone is on vibrate or silent. It's because there are other things that are more important. And those of you ladies that have young children, you understand. You can't just hop to whatever, when you've got voices constantly yelling at you and little hands, little pudgy fingers pulling at you all day long, they're telling you this is what you have to do. We live in a world in which not only do we have necessities and requirements and jobs that we have to take care of, but we allow so many other voices into our lives and our hearts that are constantly screaming at us to get attention. But the Lord said, if you're going to hear my voice, I'm not going to yell louder than everybody else. In fact, the Lord goes the opposite direction. He said in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. You know why monasteries are so popular? It's because there is a spiritual part of man that cannot be tapped into until you're quiet. Now, they're going to go and take it another direction. They're going to be like those that man who had an evil spirit and he swept his house and cleaned up his whole head, basically, and got it empty, and then seven more spirits came in. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Remember the story of Elijah and how he ran from Jezebel? And how he went all the way into the wilderness and got into a cave. And he said, take my life, Lord. Just go ahead and kill me. I'm no better than anybody else. Well, Elijah, that's no news to God. He knew that all along. Amen. But he said, just go ahead and take me, my life, Lord. Take me now. It's not even worth living anymore. I can't fight this woman anymore. Does that sound familiar? I can't fight her anymore. I'm sick and tired of it. Just take me now, Lord. And he was in the cave, and I like what he said there, 1 Kings chapter 19. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. The Lord went before, and then the wind came. The Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. I mean, there's earth, wind, and fire right there. The Lord's not interested in any of them. Isn't that interesting? That the things that we would say, God, show yourself to me. Prove that you are God. The Lord said, I can throw miracles at you all day long, but I'm not in those things. Why? Because you don't come to know God by your activity and your energy and your striving and all of your working and your perfecting of yourself and your amazing life that you have perfected for yourself. That's not how you get to know the Lord. You get to know the Lord by being quiet. And by listening. By listening. The Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. Is there anything about God that would seem small? I don't see God as small at all. I see him as gigantic, as galactic. But his voice, in this case, was small. He said, Samuel. Samuel. His voice was so small that he thought it was Eli in another room. This was not the thundering voice of the Creator. This was the quiet, whispering sound of someone trying to get your attention. Have you ever had God try to get your attention? I haven't heard from God in years. I haven't seen God. He hasn't done nothing. When's the last time you gave him a chance to whisper to you and you listened? You see, the still small voice of God is big enough to change your life forever. The still small voice is loud enough to make you into what you can never become on your own. He uses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. There are people today that are saying, what you need, businessmen, businesswomen, you need a platform. You need a Twitter account. You need a Facebook account. You need a Snapchat. You need Instagram. You need every possible channel you can. So you climb up on your soapbox and you say, hey, listen, world, I'm here too. You got to come by my business and check us out. Our prices are better than anybody. Our quality is unsurpassed. We're the best looking people. We have great looking people working here. And they all love to do everything that they're told to do. We have the most exciting environment. And they just, it keeps going on and on and on and on and on. After a while, it's a loud cacophony again of noises coming at you. And you can't discern which one it is. May I encourage you? If you want to see and hear from God, you don't have to walk out into the marketplace of ideas and listen to those that are barking and trying to sell their goods. You need to go home and lie down. And lie down and say, speak. Speak, Lord. So you have the necessity of silence. And you have, I would say, also a requirement of surrender. A requirement of surrender, which is what psychologists call active listening. See, this is not just listen. Okay, I got it. This is active listening. This is not passive listening, which is what we do as husbands. This is active listening. It's like the lady said, "You never listen to me anymore," she said to her husband. And he said, "I don't want to hear about it." Okay? That's the way it is, right? You just can't take it all in. And that when we sit down and talk to people, you know, they say it's an interesting thing, because let me read you what somebody wrote, a psychiatrist. He said this: "It's impossible to overemphasize the immense need humans have to be really listened to be taken seriously, to be understood. Listen to the conversations of our world between nations as well as those between couples. They are, for the most part, dialogues of the deaf." Michael Nichols said, "The act of listening requires a submersion of the self and immersion in the other. Learning to listen involves a paradox of control, controlling yourself and letting go of control of the relationship. It's like letting the other person drive. To listen, you have to let go." I thought that was pretty interesting, because there is a correlation in the life of the believer, listening to God. When you listen, you have to surrender. You know, the reason why negotiations can't take place, they walk away from the table. They don't want to hear it anymore. They're not willing to invest anything at all. They've already made up their minds and they're walking away. So when you're trying to talk to someone, they may physically be able to hear you. Literally, the sound waves are going and they're hitting their eardrums and they're going in there, and the stirrup and the anvil and all those things. I don't know how it works. It's amazing. But I mean, they can literally hear you, but they don't really hear you, right? It's like the little boy said to his dad, "Hey, Dad, came home from school. I got a goal, and we had pizza for lunch, and I talked to my friend Billy," and his dad, you know, he wasn't listening to him, and he said, "Dad, you're not listening to me." He said, "No, I got it. You got a goal, pizza, Billy, no problem." He said, "Dad, I want you to look at me and listen to me." You see the difference? It wasn't like he didn't have the information. I mean, how many times, I didn't ever think this was going to happen to me, but it's happened to me in the last month, where my wife said, "Did you not hear what I said?" And I said, "Is that a trick question?" Because I want to say yes, but I also want to say no. I know that I heard what you said, but I don't remember what you said. I remember you saying, I mean, there was sound waves going through the air, and it was affecting my eardrum in some capacity, but it did not enter into my mind what it was. That's a scary thing. Is that just age? Is that what it is? I don't know. But I realize he that hath ears to hear doesn't mean that they hear. You have ears to hear, but you don't necessarily hear. And how do we hear? Well, see, in our world, this is what we do. You grab your kids and you start speaking in monosyllable words. "I told you to..." You ever get spanked like that? I did all the time. "Oh, you know, Mom, hey, you will not ever do that again." That right there. But you grab a hold of your kids and you say, "Now listen to what I am saying to you." You start speaking like that. You break it down for them, right? You know what's interesting? Well, as humans, we do that. And we get the people's attention because they are stupid. And we talk to them. Right? And we explicitly and very firmly say it sometimes like this with our teeth closed. Because there's something about closed teeth that means I am serious. I don't know what it is. But it's true. And you know it's true. I'm going to finish the rest of my message like this. Okay. But you know what's interesting about it? God rarely speaks that way to any human. He doesn't. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Three lost things in the book of Luke chapter 15. The lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. But the lost coin had somebody looking for it. The lost sheep, the shepherd left the 99, went and found one. But the lost son, nobody went and looking for him. Nobody chased him down and said, "Hey, idiot, I thought I told you." Nobody did that. Why? Because God speaks to us differently than human beings speak to us. Amen. Why? Because he's different. He's not like you and I. "Behold, I thought." That's what Naaman said. "He will surely come out and strike his hand over the place." But that's not how God works. You want to know how God works? Probably the opposite of the very best idea you have. God is going to work. Why? Because he's God and you're not. He's in charge and you're not. Now that's very frustrating if you're trying to be God. That's very frustrating if you're trying to tell God what to do. But if you want to hear God, you need to go and lay down. And you need to say, as Samuel did, "Speak. Speak." You know what's interesting is that Eli knew it was the voice of God, or figured out more quickly ahead of time than Samuel did. But Samuel was just willing to listen. He was willing to obey. And you'll notice here that he did the same thing and said the same thing every time. Why? It was an attitude of surrender. Some people say this: "Well, I'll follow God. If God makes himself known to me and I know it's God, I'll listen." Not sure about that. I'm not sure about that. Why? Because God's looking for the heart. He's looking for the heart. He's looking for your heart. He's not going to come after you with a belt. He's going to whisper to you. Why? He calls us out and he says, "I know you. You want me to come after you and yell at you and shout you down, but I'm not going to do it." Why? Because I want you to come to me because you want to come. You want me. And so you come out of the shadows. You see, Samuel's heart was surrendered even when it wasn't God speaking to him. You look for, I'll tell you this. You show me someone who shakes their fist in God's face and says, "He can't prove himself to me. I don't want." And I'll show you somebody who shakes his fist in other people's, in their relationship with other humans as well. Why? There's something about the hardness of the heart. They have a shell and they're not willing to let anybody in. Most importantly, God. You want to hear God? Look at yourself. How do you respond to people? How do you treat the other relationships in your life? God's not going to come to you and knock you down like the Apostle Paul or Saul off of his horse on the road to Damascus. That's a one-off right there. And God gets a hold of our hearts by way of whispering. But there's a requirement of surrender. Forbes magazine had an article about how to do active listening. And they talked about the fact that most of the time, our brain power, when we're listening to people, is being used up in figuring out our response. So we're listening, but while we're listening, we're actually thinking about what we're going to say back to them. And this is why we get in trouble as husbands. We may be listening, but we're not actually listening, and we're trying to formulate a response. This is what they said. They said, you need to face the speaker and maintain eye contact. Boy, that's the challenge, isn't it? You ever had your child grab you by the chin? What are they doing? They're trying to communicate with you, and they want you to listen. You know, the interesting thing about that is that I'm not sure that God will do that. Maybe he will do it. But it's still a matter of the heart. God is not, he's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. But the question is, will you sit still long enough to let him do the talking? Sit still. They said also that you should not interrupt. Don't interrupt. In order to actively listen, this is a marriage counseling. You can save yourself a lot of money. Don't have to buy the book. They said this, don't interrupt and don't impose your solutions. These are quotation marks. Solutions. Don't interrupt and don't impose. You ever had that happen in your life where you're you hear somebody say something about what the Lord wants, or you think, let's the Lord, I don't want you to speak to me, Lord, and I'm going to speak to me. Okay, I know what you're saying. You ever have someone finish your sentences? That is so irritating. When you're trying to say, yeah, we got together last night. How was it? And that's not what I was going to say. Well, we went down to that restaurant. You know the one restaurant on Alexis Road? Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. No, you have no idea what I'm saying. You won't let me talk and finish. People are such in a rush sometimes to finish your sentences that you feel like, why am I even talking? Why don't you just tell me what's on my mind? You ever wonder? I wonder about that in the Christian life as well. How many times we have come to God and said, God, I got a need. And I'll just go ahead and tell you what I think you should do about it. You should do this and you should do that. And Lord, don't let that happen. Lord, whatever. I remember hearing a guy pray years ago and he was talking about his son traveling and we were praying together. He said, Lord, help this man. Help my son as he travels. He said, help him to have a safe trip and not to get in a wreck. He said that would both be unneeded and unappreciated. And I thought it was great. This guy's telling the Lord, don't do that. I don't appreciate when you do that. As if the Lord is, you know, intentionally trying to hurt him. But how many times do we interrupt the Lord and provide our own solutions to him? This is how you can fix my life. This is what you can do with me. This is where I'm willing to go. You notice there was nothing in this passage that Samuel said other than, here am I. Here am I, for thou didst call me. Here am I. Here am I. That presenting, that vulnerability, and over in the Bible we find the Lord called to Abraham, and he said, here am I. The Lord called to Jacob, and he said, here am I. And he called to Isaiah, whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here am I. Here am I. You're opening yourself up, and you're surrendering and saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You want to hear the voice of God? Be willing to let go of your precious dreams. And I'm not saying that facetiously. They are precious to us. Be willing to let go of your plans, of your designs. Toss out your own solutions and come to the Lord and say, here am I. Remember, he's calling you. And if he's calling you, it's more important to hear what he has to say than what you have to say to him. He said here in this article, they said, don't try to offer your own solutions. They said, ask questions only to ensure understanding. I don't know about you. I've asked God many times, why this, why that, and get frustrated. And I think the Lord is fine with that. You go through the book of Job, and you find Job said, Lord, what is going on? Why do the wicked prosper? Over and over, he throws questions at God. It's okay to ask God why, as long as you're willing to accept the answer. And sometimes that answer is no answer. Why? Because at the end of the book, it's God that's in charge, and he makes that very clear to Job. I'm in charge. You can ask me any question you want to, but if you don't get it answered, what are you going to do? That really separates believers who go on to produce fruit and those who shrivel up and are choked. Believers who are willing to ask God why and not demand an answer. To simply present themselves before the Lord and say, here am I, for thou didst call me. Here I am. The necessity of surrender. And very closely connected with that is the importance of time. That's the difficult one right there. Because it's one thing for me to flood down to the altar after a heartfelt message and I say, yes, Lord, that's what I want. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I'm willing, Lord. I don't know why, but I'm willing for you to be in charge. But how many times do you have to do that? If you're like me, it's not just once. It's next week. It's next month. It's another year. It could be a decade later. You're still coming to God saying, Lord, what's going on? And the Lord said, I'm working behind the scenes. And you say, I don't see it. How many times did Samuel get up? You know, was he too immature? Was he naive? Was he young? I think he was a pure heart. Three times this happened. Now, if that had been me, and I heard Samuel call, I said, hey, Sam, Eli, what's up, man? What's up? You called me. And he said, no, I didn't call you. Go lay down. Okay, the second time, I'm going, Eli, you're not playing me again. Okay? I'm not getting up again and coming to you. I'm tired. You're tired. This is stupid. What are we doing? But each time he comes back. Was he just stupid? I don't think so. I think he was pure of heart. That's the importance of waiting and of perseverance. Coming back again. Coming back again. I want to hear. This is what happens many times. People say, yeah, I need to hear from God. So I'm going to fast for a week. And God's going to speak to me. And if God doesn't speak to me, forget it. And we go and we do our own thing. We run away. Some people say, I'm trying to find out the will of God. I mean, I prayed. I read my Bible every day this week. And God didn't say nothing to me. You know, sometimes believers go a long, 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 long time. God led people through the desert 40 years. And that included at least two people who wanted to do what God had told them to do. And everybody else ruined their lives. Joshua and Caleb. But what did they have to do every day? Joshua and Caleb didn't wake up and say, this is ridiculous. We have to eat manna. You know why we have to eat manna? Because you guys are too wimpy to go into the promised land. Over and over and over again. They were not even in charge of their own lives. They had to follow somebody else. But you think about that. How many times in your own life, you read the Bible and you go, well, God didn't say nothing to me, so forget it. You got to go back. And you got to go back. And you got to go back. It's the importance of waiting and of perseverance to say, Lord, here am I. I surrendered to you when I was a teenager. I surrendered to you 20 years ago. But I'm coming back again with a pure heart. And Lord, maybe I missed something. Maybe I didn't hear you correctly. Maybe I thought it was something else and I didn't get it. I'm just presenting myself before you, Lord. I want to hear your voice again. I want to know that you are speaking to me. It's been too long since you said something to me, Lord. Talk to me. You know what? We come back and the Lord's, he's not saying, all right. He's saying, finally. Finally. Because it's not just a matter of you saying I'm ready. It's a matter of when you are ready. Why is it? The Lord does things in threes. I don't always know why he does it. But remember, he asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? And he gave him the same answer. And he kept asking the same question over and over again. Why? There's something about the number of three that God is saying. Remember, Paul asked for his thorn to be removed. He asked the Lord three times. He asked to have it taken away. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. It's coming back. It's the number of completion. It's the number of the Godhead. It is being faithful and committed to return again and again and again and say, I want to hear your voice. I will not let thee go. Unless thou bless me, is what Jacob said to the angel. Believer, you're looking to hear from God? I hope that you have a desire to hear from God. It may require you to come back again and again and again. Be still and know that I am God. The waiting will pay off. Because you see, to truly listen is to be changed. To be changed. And you can see that in Samuel's life here, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. I couldn't help but think of Mark chapter 9 about how the seed stayed on the ground, and the fowls came by and picked it up. But with Samuel, it was not so. Samuel allowed the word of God to sink deep into his heart. And it brought forth fruit. And Samuel became a prophet of the Lord, so much so that no longer was the Lord working with Eli. He now was working with Samuel. And it all started one sleepless night when Samuel could not nod off. He kept hearing that voice. And God used that voice to change him and to shape a nation for the next generation. All because Samuel was listening. Listening. And so I ask you this morning, are you listening? You know, it doesn't take a great Christian to listen. I was thinking about it this morning. It actually woke me up this morning, the thought that anybody can do that. Any of us can listen. You don't have to be super Christian. You just have to listen. When's the last time the Lord spoke to you? What did he say? I haven't heard from the Lord. Well, are you willing to wait? Are you willing to come back? Because the Lord's not in the wind. He's not in the fire. He's not in the earthquake. He's a still, small voice. And the Lord is waiting for that purpose, that perseverance. He's waiting for that purity of heart so that he can come and bring forth the fruit in your heart and life. You may not have a lot of power, but you can listen. We can hear the voice of God. We can hear God speaking to us. You know what? I want to leave you with this morning. We can hear the voice of God, and it is a privilege that we can hear the voice of God. The reason why we can do that this morning is because there was a time when Jesus Christ, on the cross, ceased to hear the voice of his Father. He no longer could hear that steady communication, that broadcast from heaven, 24/7, turned off. And he was in darkness and in a void, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Tell me, what did Jesus ever do to get that broadcast turned off? What action did he take? What sin did he commit to where God said, I'm done talking to you? He didn't. He never did anything. It was our sin, yours and mine, that caused the Lord to say, I'm done talking to you. And he took that communication, the broken communication, and he endured that so that you and I never have to live a life without hearing the voice of God. We're no longer separated as Adam and Eve were from the voice of God. And it says that when they sinned, they heard the voice of God walking in the garden. They hid themselves. Jesus Christ endured that punishment that was due to our sin. He took it on himself. And he invites every child of God this morning to hear the voice of God. Can I tell you this? If you know God has talked to you, I don't care what you're going through. If you can say in your heart, God spoke to me. You can go through cancer. You can go through financial difficulty. You can go through the loss of a spouse or the turning away of a child. You can endure any hardship if only you can hear that voice of God and come to him and say, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Oh, what a sweet thing to hear the voice of God. And when you've heard it, it makes you want to come back and come back and come back. And anything else that would keep you from that voice just seems so cheap just to hear the voice of the Creator. But you got to listen. You got to listen. Heard the story about a young man who was working around some men as they were taking ice from the lake and putting it in an ice house. Years ago, there were no refrigerators. And so they had to pack the ice. If they're going to have ice in the summertime, they would take the ice out of the lake, cut it up. They'd put it in an ice house. It was very well insulated. They keep it completely shut. And while they were working, they said one of the men that was working there had a very valuable watch on his arm, on his hand. And as he was working, he lost it. Everybody stopped what they were doing. They started searching all over the ice house. They tried to find it. Could not see it. Could not find it. All the rubble and everything was everywhere. They couldn't see it anywhere. They all said, forget it, let's go to lunch. And they left. And when they all left, that young boy that had been working with them went back in. And a little while later, he emerged from the ice house holding the watch. He said, I found it. And they came up to him. They said, what in the world? How did you find that? Everybody else couldn't find it. He said, what I did was I just closed the ice house and I put my ear down on the floor and I listened. And I heard the watch ticking. And I could find it. You see, sometimes the professionals, the experts, they can't do it. The adults don't have it figured out. It takes someone that is pure in heart. Someone that is just simple enough to stop. And get down. And listen.